Gloria, die Lumineers auf Flux FM. Free heißt es, das neue Album, wobei man auch ill lesen könnte. When you're looking at it from a different angle, it looks like ill, but it's three.
No, drei.
Drei is a very nice way of saying it in German as well. The third album by the Lumineers is going to be put out next Friday. Nächsten Freitag kommt's raus, das neue Werk, das sich um eine fiktionale Familie herumdreht und das quasi auch in Kapiteln schon veröffentlicht worden ist. Die Familie Sparks wird besungen. Die Matriarchin der Familie, Gloria, war gerade Thema des Songs. Es geht aber noch um weitere Kandidaten und Kandidatinnen auf dieser Platte. Prison Guard Jimmy zum Beispiel und viele weitere. Ich habe die zwei Männer bei mir im Studio, die für die Platte und die Texte verantwortlich sind. Jeremiah und Wesley. Hier sind the Lumineers.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming.
Sure.
How are you doing today? It's like one week.
It's beautiful here.
To the album release.
Yeah, we're kind of riding that high. We're really excited. We can't believe it's finally here because we made this record a year ago. So
yeah, and before it comes out, there's like infinite possibilities. Yeah. And once it comes out, it's just going to do
your
what it's going to do.
Yeah.
although you did release the album in chapters via EPs, yeah. It's still that long way that you have to go through as a band, right? After finishing the recording process, it all takes so long.
It'll be
still.
Nice though, because the album comes out next week, yeah. September 13th, and we'll be back in Germany in November, about 2 months after the album comes out. So yeah. People have a lot more time to digest
That's nice.
And listen to the new music, so they'll be a little bit more ready
cool,
for it.
Cool, cool, cool. I've just told people that it's a record that tells us about a fictional family, the Sparks. Gloria's the grandmother, obviously, the matriarch in the family. She has a little bit of a drinking problem, I guess. Yeah. And when I was reading about the concept of the fictional family, I was like, why take the long route via fictional family when you're basically a band that's well known for talking about personal things and topics that are really close to your heart? Mm-hmm. And then I realized maybe it's about protection,
yeah,
for the people that you sing about, right?
Yeah, it's about giving a little bit of disguise or a cover to, sometimes it's really hard to tell a really honest story if you're not if you're too upfront with who you're exactly talking about. And I think the point of us doing this was to tell the story. It wasn't to reveal who the identity of the person was. And you know, we were talking about this the other day, like cavemen drew on walls to tell stories. It's part of what we do instead of
sure.
And a lot of people have asked us if we made this record to, you know, make a statement about, or you know, make some change in with alcoholism or with addiction. And it's not really that. It's just more talking about it at all. At least in the United States, it's a pretty taboo subject. So to be able to sing about it, and in some ways in Gloria it sounds even cheerful.
Yeah.
I think it allows people a way to maybe talk about it with one another and show their friends, and it's opened up conversations with complete strangers and us in a way that we've never really had before on past records. So that's been really surprising and special.
Yeah, it must have been interesting during the writing process as well, I guess, right? To just be a little bit more free.
Yeah.
You don't have to hide anything because the whole thing is basically a construct, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Was it different to write those lyrics?
It was. I mean, it was equally hard. There are a few times where, like, we do a lot of stuff with our voice memos on our phones, and like I have moments where I'm singing something and crying, you know. It's like, it was still cathartic and painful, but it was helpful that I knew I wouldn't be, you know, in the process of all that, calling someone out by name. It gave me the permission to say it as honestly as I could, even my own feelings about it, you know.
Yeah, cool.
Because it's, if you sugarcoat it, what's the point, you know? It's supposed to be totally as raw as we can. So yeah, the Sparks gave us like a lot of cover in this.
Yeah, yeah. But that's when you realize that you've written a good lyric, when you have an emotional response to your own words, when you
yeah,
sing pretty, it out loud and you start crying for the first time. It's like, yeah, there we go. I think I'm on the right path.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, goosebumps. We always talk about getting goosebumps or crying, or I think we're lucky to get to do what we do because there's real emotion that we're asked to bring to a show or asked to write about. That a lot of other walks of life, they ask you to tamp that all down and just be a robot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is a good litmus test for if you're doing something right, because it's literally moving you know, to tears or making you feel something, which is the point of the art, I think, is to make someone feel. Just like going to a show is to make you feel. You can't really get that watching a DVD. You have to be in a room with people.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole reason for the Lumineers to be, actually, because that's when it all started, right? When family tragedies happened, your father died, your brother died, and then it all started from there. You had to find a way to let out your feelings, your emotions, and that's how the Lumineers started, and that's, I think that's what they're still here for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, what better job could we have,
yeah,
having gone through those types of traumas? And I think we're really lucky that we get to do that for a living, and beyond that, I think it's very connective, you know. It feels like medicine and self-medication to, yeah, be able to talk about these things, sing about these things, and get these feelings out. And then it's a positive feedback loop, even though it's about negative stuff at times, yeah, drinking, death, whatever it is. People who respond in, yeah, droves about it positively.
So. There's another thing that people feel, though. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Even the recipient, yeah, because especially in Germany, so many songs on the radio, people are listening to it. They're like, "Ho! Hey! I like that, you know?"
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And that's what they get. They get the melody, and then there's this energetic "oh hey" thing, yeah, in the middle, and they'll be like, "I like that band." They possibly don't even know what you're singing about. They're listening to the lyrics, they don't understand, but they still feel that there's heart in there. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
They, yeah, still feel that at the core of the whole thing, there's tragedy, actually. And it's a real feeling. It's not like a few guys sitting together be like, "Let's go for a pop song and enter the fucking charts." You know?
Yeah.
One does feel
that's right.
No, yeah, really. It was an interesting thing. I mean, that song was truly about a breakup, mm-hmm, you know, and then that became a lot of people's wedding song, their first dance. And it's like a strange fate for when I was sitting in my apartment writing that, those lyrics, and just being like, I can't believe people dance to that. But
yeah,
in a beautiful way, they felt something and they gravitated or attached to a particular lyric, and that's theirs now.
Yeah,
you know, it's sort of like, your job is to create. It's not to dictate what, yeah, it's supposed to be about.
Yeah, as the and that's artist. The beauty of it as well, right? Yeah. I mean, it's only a week, and the album is not going to be yours anymore. It's,
yeah,
going to belong to the people out there, and they're going to take out of it whatever they want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a party album to some.
Could be.
You never know. I find it interesting that the idea for the Sparks family was like a decade ago or something. It's like a 10-year-old idea.
It wasn't the Sparks family so much as having an album in three parts.
Oh,
so
okay,
like three chapters. The original title back in 2008 was 8 or 7 was Love, Loss, and Crimes. And it was like, so we have, you know, a batch of songs about love, a batch of songs about loss, and a batch of songs about crimes. Mm-hmm. And then
sounds like a Netflix show, though.
Yeah, I mean, I yeah, like the sound of it, but
yeah,
we didn't really have the right songs to match that theme. And so we were gonna call this album that, and then it felt wrong, it felt disingenuous. So we noticed that there were these sort of characters on the record, and we made it more about these three,
yeah,
and then they became this family, and it just kind of, I'm really fascinated by families, and by, my dad was a psychologist, so like we talked about our feelings and,
yeah,
and things like that.
And mothers, think, you talked, yeah, about your mothers.
Yeah, and we were always talking about like, how does someone else feel?
Yeah.
So a lot of this
empathy
album is about that, and
yeah,
then it's a lot about love. That's what's like, I think a lot of people miss when they sum it up. They're like, oh, it's really sad, or it's really dark. And it's like, it is, I guess, but there's this really strong, unbreakable bond in families, which is why addiction can be so painful for everyone around the addict. It's not because of anything but love.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's
true.
A beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes what can keep people from going over the edge. But sometimes you have you're powerless, you know, you don't, yeah, have an effect on it. So in a way, I think there's this love in the album that you can miss if you like,
yeah,
look
totally
at it too on the surface, yeah, too much.
I mean, love can make people happy, but it can, well, it does make things complicated as well.
Yeah,
right?
Only because, love can break your heart, they,
yeah,
say. Yeah,
yeah, that's, yeah, how you say, yeah, it. Yeah, true. Now let's listen to another song. It's called Life in the City, and we talk a bit more right after that about plans for touring and all that other stuff that we
sounds
haven't
great,
talked about,
yeah,
yet. The Lumineers of Lux FM, Life in the City. The Lumineers, Life in the City auf Flux FM. Das Album 3 kommt jetzt raus am kommenden Freitag, am 13.9., am Freitag, den 13. Und es wird ein Album sein, das sich um eine fiktionale Familie herumdreht. Die Familie Sparks wird besungen auf der Platte. Und den Umweg über die fiktionale Familie hat man gemacht, um die Leute, die besungen werden, um die es geht, quasi ein bisschen zu beschützen. Denn es geht natürlich auch um große Themen wie Abhängigkeiten und Depressionen auf der Platte von den Lumineers. Am 14.11. spielen sie übrigens in Berlin in der Verti Music Hall. It's just on the other side of the river, actually, the place that you're going to play.
Perfect.
It's a newly built thingy.
Yeah.
And I haven't been there yet, but it's must sound nice.
I think we heard Jack White played one of the first shows there. He's got good taste.
I think so too. Jack White wouldn't play at any shabby place, shabby sounding places.
No, he wouldn't.
They haven't ever seen Jack White. None of them. So, I've talked to you guys about the album a little bit. We've talked about the whole Hey song, which was like a real big impact for you guys. It was like a huge hit on this very station. One of my favorite songs of that year. I was singing along to that song all day long. No, really, because it has this beautiful melody. And as I said, the Germans sometimes have a different approach to that, to the whole thing. And there's this one interesting thing that I've read about you guys. And that's really something that I want to talk to you about, because we've talked about the fact that Trauma was at the very beginning of the Lumineers' career. But then in an interview, you said that the biggest thing that you had to come over was the success of that first song, because that was like even more traumatic than the death. And I mean, that's
not literally,
really, but it's, what was traumatic about the success of that song, and how did you kind of get over it? Because you guys look at you and I see two guys being down to earth still. It doesn't seem as if the success went to your heads or something. But I mean, you have to avoid that.
I think you, when you have something that takes over, and in the US at least, it, and around the world, it kind of became this cultural part of that year, you know?
Yeah.
And I think because of the things happening around it and the other music that kind of led the way to that. So I think for us, we had to write our way out of it, or, you know, play our way out of it. There was no fast forwarding getting out from underneath that shadow. And it wasn't something we were too consciously aware of. We never really talked about until a couple of years after, where it was, I think we just felt the pressure to be defined by, you know, more than a song or more than an album. Because in that case, we had, on the first album, we felt like we made a really good record, and there was a song called Stubborn Love that, if Hohei never existed, that would have been, I think, a pretty big song on its own. And it was, but it was overshadowed by this big song in Hohei. So I think on the second album, it's been really a joy to go around now on this third record and hear people react to songs off the second record and realize, oh, there's like the story continues to be told, or that you turn the page. Because for some bands, even though it's such a blessing, it's kind of all people wait at your show for, and then they leave right after. So we'd always play the song right in the beginning of the set, like the third song in. Just to be like,
that's the punk part of the Lumineers, right?
We're nice, like, you can leave if you want, but we're not gonna wait and play this last.
Yeah.
You know? We're gonna be defined by more than this. And so that was it. I mean, and plus, success I've found is at least for Jared and my relationship, it was a lot more to deal with than all the years of where you felt like you weren't being successful. Because you're just
like
in
touring,
it together.
Touring in the minivan and being cramped up in one little hotel room wasn't as hard as having the biggest success imaginable. That's funny. I mean, that's
funny,
but interesting.
It's like, because you don't expect it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when things go well, you're very busy, and now you don't have a minute to take care of yourself. And you're sort of caught up in this wave, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And so
everybody's around you is like, oh yeah, what a beautiful song, thank you. No, really. There's yaysayers all around you, I guess.
Yeah, yaysayers can be like really bad for keeping honest with yourself of how good a song is. So, you know, we miss the days of open mics where we could go there and play Hohei or play Flowers in Your Hair or something like we used to, and we'd know right away what they really felt about it, because they didn't know anything about us.
Yeah.
We had just moved to Denver and they didn't care about us.
Yeah.
It was just the song. And now if we went in, they might clap even if you played a really bad song.
Yeah.
You know, just because they're excited you're there. So I think we met Bono one time and he said, you have to listen through other people's ears. So he plays his new music before it comes out to friends and to people in his car. And then he just kind of observes them and is listening, you know, passively. And he can figure out when something's working, almost like an open mic.
You think so?
That's what he said, I believe it.
I imagine Bono with his yellow sunglasses in the car looking at you like this with wide open eyes.
And you're trying
in your face to not show any reaction to the music.
Well, I know he sings along to his own music while it's playing.
Okay.
Like, there's many, many stories about that. And I actually kind of admire that. He's so he's so not self-conscious, you know, yeah. in a way. It's a beautiful thing, but...
it's good to have a Bono in this world. I mean, we can agree on that. Sure. It's really it's important for all of us. Now, you guys are going to be touring the album in a few weeks. That whole process is going to start. And now you've both become dads like a few months ago, I think in 2018. Like,
so they're
year and a half
kids
ago,
are about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So you're looking forward to the touring part, or is it like one eye's crying and the other's like smiling? Or are you going to take the family on tour? What's your plan for that?
Yeah, family will come out, I think, for both of us. And no, it's great. I mean, I don't think we've ever had quote-unquote normal jobs in the last 18 months where we're home all the time. And then all of a sudden we have to be uplifted, uprooted from our family. So it's not as traumatic as it might seem. The family, the wives, you know, the children will eventually understand this is kind of dad's job and that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
So I think it will provide a very interesting life, to say the least.
Yeah, for everybody. Totally.
I mean, they won't know what... I mean, normal is what you're used to. So my wife was working with family. She was a nanny when I first met her and traveled with these families all over. And some of these kids went to Burning Man and lived out of this big vehicle that they traveled around with two kids, a nanny, the parents, and a cat and a dog. Like, that was their life.
Yeah.
And the kids were just used to it. Yeah. Kids were just used to it. So this will be what he's used to, I think, and respectively, each of our boys. So, but it is something like where I feel like I've never had FOMO. You know, we say like FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
I've never really had that. And now that I have a kid, if something happens that day, I'm so curious what happened. You know, I wish I was there sometimes. So, it's a good thing, you know. I'm glad that I feel some FOMO now.
Yeah. I want to congratulate the both of you to that new part of your life and to that new album, because we've listened to it. We think it's great.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a new step in the Lumineers world. And I think it's going to be good for all of us.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's going to be a great record. It's going to be a great tour that's going to happen in November. Und am 14. November spielen die Lumineers hier in Berlin in der Verti Music Hall. Und sie haben jetzt angeboten, dass sie euch auf die Lumineers Gästeliste schreiben. Das geht nur, wenn ihr uns jetzt schnell anruft. Two Tickets unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000. Das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wir verlosen Tickets für die Lumineers Show am 14.11. in der Verti Music Hall. 3 wird ihr neues Album heißen. Das erscheint am kommenden Freitag. 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000. Das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wir haben Tickets für die Verti Music Hall und die Lumineers am 14.11. Bit of waving around in the background here. People,
how do they win the tickets?
They just phone in. But the thing
is, trivia involved, or they just got a call?
No, the trivia thing, it never works, you know. But my colleague with the new dress, you still see that prize bill on her on the back. My friend, she had to answer the phone. That's why I was waving, because she didn't realize that it was her part of the job now.
Important part.
Yeah.
Wesley, call in
Jeremiah,
now.
Thank you guys for coming. I hope we'll see
you
again.
Thank you so much for having us.
We'll see each other again in November.
Yeah, I hope you come to the show.
Then, yeah, best of luck. Say hi to the families.
Will do.
To the Sparkses as well.
Sure.
And I'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.